Christ. Amen. Well, during the season of Easter, you may have noticed the lectionary takes us on a road through the book of Acts. Acts is, of course, the second half of Luke's story about Jesus, but Acts focuses on the events and the work of the disciples after Jesus has lived with them, after the crucifixion and resurrection, after Jesus returns to the Father in heaven. So over the last few weeks in our first readings each Sunday morning, we've heard the stories of Paul on the road to Damascus when Jesus appears to him and sets him on a new path, a path toward a life of discipleship. And the stories of women who were influential in hosting early church gatherings. People like Tabitha, who is called Dorcas, and Lydia, a woman of wealth. And Peter, who has a vision from God about what is clean and unclean, how God is breaking down the walls that divide us and exclude us from our neighbors. The book of Acts may not be the most succinct or comprehensive story of the early church. There's a lot of parts missing. There's a lot of parts where it seems to jump around. But it does help us to give us a picture of what these followers of the risen Christ were up against as, well, as anomalies in their communities. And also as they relied on God to guide them into new ways of living for and with one another. And the season of Easter is a good time to reflect on Acts. The resurrection isn't just new life for the church 2,000 years ago, but also life and hope and renewal today. And even in the midst of this Easter season, we have seen and felt the need for new life, even in silence. Images on the news of children fleeing, parents grieving, police lights flashing betray the alleluias that resound from our Easter celebrations. The book of Acts is not a story of every day becoming brighter and happier because of the glory of Jesus' resurrection. In fact, to read the story of the first apostles is to read a story that creates more loose ends and failed starts than not. Peter is in conflict with the leaders of the Jerusalem church. Paul gets shipwrecked on an island, and the likes of Stephen is stoned to death in the streets. It's ironic, I think, that anyone thought that these should be the books that are collected together to become the Bible. But the New Testament continues the tradition of the Hebrew Scriptures, I guess, in that hardly any story gets neatly tied up with a bow at the end. The world will have to wait for Hollywood to come along for that dream to come true. Perhaps it is appropriate that we read from the book of Acts during the season of Easter, not because we need to hear stories of success, but because we need to know that the God who announces new life in the resurrected Christ is the God who has always stuck with us through the hard work, through the failed starts and interrupted plans and tragedies which drop us to our knees in grief. Just to address the event directly, I was, as most of you were, horrified to hear of the shooting this week at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. The awfulness of it is made worse because so many of those killed were children. But that this shooter targeted children while others were racially motivated or driven by religious ideals or simply confounded by mental illness. The fact that we can assign these catastrophes to such diverse social ills is itself a tragedy. I can stand up here and say that we live in a broken, sinful world. Or I could join the media and political rhetoric and cast the shooter on the pile of those that we label evil, a tactic that I think is much more about our unwillingness to put ourselves into the narrative where we would have to actually do something about the likes of Salvador Ramos, or even more unappealing, recognize that each of us in our own way propagates a culture that creates such grief and hatred. I could say that we could pray for the victims' families and keep them in our thoughts. But all I really can do is throw up my hands with the rest of you and ask, why? Oh, I want to have an answer. I want to have the silver bullet that would make violence and calamity end forever. I'd love to be able to side with the Second Amendment crowd and get tough on bad people with guns, or say that the only answer is to have everyone turn in their guns and stand in a circle and sing Kumbaya. I do believe, as I said earlier, that efforts such as Sandy Hook Promise can make a difference. Just like I know that donations to a food bank makes a difference in the lives of those who are hungry, or that volunteering for Habitat for Humanity can help toward ending homelessness in our neighborhoods. None of it solves the problem, but they do help. And as Martin Luther King Jr. said, some of these efforts bend the arc of the universe toward justice. The answers aren't in the answer. And as the scripture says, there is a time for everything under heaven, a time to live and a time to die, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Getting back to the book of Acts, one of the things that struck me in this reading that we have for today, this portion of chapter 16 this week, and as I was finding myself sad and fearful and angry because of the news from Texas, is that when Paul and Silas and the others are in prison, they behave differently than how most of us probably would. They don't get anxious. I think if I was thrown in jail, even if I knew I deserved it, I don't think I would host a hymn sing. And if there was an earthquake and the doors of the prison fell open, I don't think I would sit there in the dark. And if the jailer wanted to fall on his own sword, well, I guess I hope I would probably try to stop him, but I don't think I'd tell him about Jesus and offer to baptize him. Tragic things happen in life, unexpected things, things that mess with our emotions. And they cause us to become anxious. And sometimes that anxiety can become more dangerous than the event that originally caused it. When I was a teenager and I learned to drive a car, it wasn't long before I was in an accident. It wasn't my fault. I got rear-ended on my way to school, and nobody was hurt. But after a day or two, I had to get back in the car, back behind the wheel. Only I remember looking in the rearview mirror as I was perhaps sitting at a stoplight, and my heart would race, and I gripped the steering wheel, and I pressed on the brake pedal harder. As the car approached me from behind. That's anxiety. And it didn't, but it could have made me too afraid ever to get back in the car again. Paul and Silas are in a situation that could have created lots of anxiety. And there probably were some feelings of fear and helplessness, even dread. But it's how Paul and Silas dealt with those feelings. They don't panic. They don't despair. Instead, they turn to the comforts of their faith. They sing the songs of God. They don't run, but instead remain calm as the gates fall open. And they do what they do best. They tell the story of God's grace in Jesus Christ. That's the story that's repeated time and again throughout the Bible. The world turns and both goodness and tragedy befall the people of the earth. And while it would be natural to become so fearful and anxious that none of us ever left our homes again, the story of God is one in which God confronts us, sits with us in the dark sometimes, and brings us eventually to the light. I certainly don't want to minimize the shooting in Uvalde, Texas this week, or violence anywhere, anytime. And sometimes the best thing you can do with someone who has gone through such an ordeal as the parents of those children this week, sometimes the best thing you can do with them is sit with them in the dark. But the dark is also where the light of Jesus shines. And the light that shines will guide us forward. And moving forward, we will discover how to address the problems of hatred, violence, racism, greed, mental illness, poverty, inequality, and so much more. Our world is not lost. Our lives are not meaningless. We can get back in that car and go where we want to go, even if it's kind of scary when other cars come up behind us. And sooner or later, we will have to face the pain and horror of tragedy again. But if we trust God, if we sing the story of our faith, if we know that in the darkness, with the world having caved in on us, God has not abandoned us, then the Alleluia of Easter can sound again, an Alleluia that declares that Christ is risen, and so are 19 children, two teachers, shoppers in Buffalo, and victims of violence everywhere, even a racist crackpot hell-bent on replacement theory. And a kid who just turned 18 and was allowed to buy a couple of firearms. The book of Acts, and most of the Bible, doesn't wrap up neatly. And neither does our world today. Because there are no easy answers. Only this Christ, who has died and now lives.